Today on Vox Talks, if you have a child when you're older, how does that affect the health of your baby? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Medical science has made it easier for parents to have a child later in life, and also many of us prefer to wait longer to start a family. But as older mothers or fathers, we also worry whether our age is going to negatively affect our children's life outcomes. The evidence on this important question so far has been mixed and inconclusive. A new study, though, using 3 decades of data from Norway, offers important evidence into one aspect of this, and that's birth defects and infant mortality. Hans Wiede of the University of Bergen and the CEPR is one of the authors. Welcome to Vox Talks, Hans.
Hi, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Hans, what is the medical reasoning behind this, that increased parental age may mean that these problems could be more common?
Well, I'm not a biologist or a medical doctor, so I need to be a little bit careful here. But the literature, it's a big literature, this on possible mechanisms. Now, for males, it's pretty straightforward that as you age, the sperm's ability to swim becomes poorer. So there will be less selection pressure, if you like. There will be less of them potentially reaching the target. There's also for males, so we're like sperm-producing machines throughout our lives. And the older we get, the more chance that there will be mutations in the sperm production. Now, for females, it's more complicated because for females are born with their eggs. There are like several possible mechanisms, a bit more unclear, but pregnancy complications could be one. As you get older, your body is simply less fit to be pregnant. There's also these chromosomal problems. Mechanisms a bit more unclear. At least that's how I read the literature.
Now, despite the fact that it's a common worry, I did mention that the existing empirical research we have into this has found no clear pattern. Is this really true? What methods are these studies using?
The empirical research is unclear when it comes to birth disorders. The results are a little bit all over the place. This parental age question has been studied for a number of other outcomes, so things like schizophrenia, and they have found something which looked like a clear pattern. I think our fundamental claim is that you can't believe the existing literature. Their methods don't work. Or, to put it a little bit less strongly, the methods they use, it's very unclear what drives the underlying results, whether they find a positive, negative, or zero association between parental age and children outcomes.
I see. Are they just taking cohorts of parents?
So let me explain why. So the typical paper in this literature compares 2 children, just to make this simple. So they compare 1 child who has young parents with another child that has older parents. Mm-hmm. So this is comparison across different families and different parents. And then let's suppose they find that the child with the older parents have like worse outcomes, for example, has a birth defect than the one with the younger parents. What do we conclude from that? It's tempting to conclude that that's a parental age effect. But of course, it could be a number of other things. For example, parents that get children older are selected. They are very different. They have different education, different backgrounds, different genes, different environment, and so on and so forth. So our claim is that these comparison of children across families is very unclear how to interpret the results you get out because of this selection effect.
So what have you done differently?
Right. We're thinking that, well, how do we isolate the effect of parental age and reduce the selection effect? So what we do is to compare full siblings. Mm. Okay. So inside the family, we hold the identity of the parents constant. We compare the younger children to the older children. Mm-hmm. That's the fundamental idea. Make that comparison for hundreds of thousands of families.
You say hundreds of thousands. Where do you get your data for this? And what do you include and what do you exclude from your data set?
Just want to make one thing clear. So the idea of comparing inside the family is that we then keep many genetic and environmental factors constant, right? Because we're talking about the kids of the same 2 individuals. So the data we use is the Norwegian birth register, and that includes all births in Norway over a prolonged period. And after we exclude 1 children families, because obviously there are no siblings there, we are left with about 1.2 million children in our sample.
And does your approach need to assume, though, that things like household income or the amount of parental care are the same for both siblings? Because I thought that sort of thing might vary.
That's a good point. The reason why we think birth outcomes is particularly interesting is because parental care hasn't, at least in the standard meaning of the word, hasn't really had an impact yet.
Oh,
because
yes.
These kids, right? These kids are not born yet. Now, household income, is it possible that being a richer person gives you access to better prenatal healthcare?
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure if it's possible, to be honest, because the outcomes we look at, and these are really like genetic kind of defects. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether, you know, spending more money with your doctor would necessarily help it. The other thing is that Norway is obviously not a developing country. So we all have access to good or very good healthcare. Okay. So it's hard to see how somebody who's 30 and makes, you know, a certain amount and then turns 40 and make a bit more money, whether that should have an impact sounds implausible. But that said, we didn't find it plausible enough, to be honest, to do it, but we could have done it. There's nothing incompatible between doing that and our method.
What is, in your study, the impact of increased parental age on birth defects, child mortality?
The effects we find are large. So the existing literature, as I said, is a bit unclear whether there's much of an effect, parental aging effect at all. What we find is very strong results in the direction of older parents are much more likely to get children with birth defects. So let me give you a couple of numbers. Parents with an average age of 45 to 49, which is in the high end, the interval, were almost 2 percentage points more likely to get a child with a birth defect than parents with age 30 to 34.
Yes, there's quite a large difference.
Yeah, it is. Now, for infant mortality, we also find strong effects. So we find about a 0.8 percentage point effect for these parents that are 45 to 49 years old compared to the reference category.
And these estimates, as we're saying, are much higher than previous studies have found.
Right. So what we did was to use our data, the 1.2 million birth, and then we ran the kind of traditional regressions, if you like. We used the traditional methods to ask, like, okay, so if we use the traditional method, then what is the impact of parental age? And using the traditional methods, we find much weaker effects of parental age. Actually, less than half, close to one third of the effect. So we do find a negative effect of parental age even there, but much, much weaker.
And you're finding these effects at these quite high ages, but I mean, increasingly common as mothers and fathers.
And by the way, Tim, there's one thing I want to say there, because we're using a traditional method. We're just comparing two families. So one where the parents age 45 to 49 and another where the parents are 30 to 34, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using the traditional methods, we find much weaker effect. And the question is sort of why? Well, it's exactly the selection thing going on.
Yeah.
And the selection is that older parents tends to be positively selected. Put it in a somewhat simple way, it appears as though these couples that decide to get children at a later age tend to have better genes. At least they're positively selected. That's our interpretation of why we get so different results from the existing literature.
Are there any particular types of birth defect or problem that you find a particularly large effect for?
We do. The ones we find the strongest results for were clubfoot and musculoskeletal disorders, and also something called multiple system, which includes Down syndrome. It's important to say that we find these effects for all categories or birth defects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like across the board. It's not like two or three birth defects are driving it with positive coefficient, and then there were a bunch of negative coefficients.
Now, when we were discussing this at the beginning, you pointed out there's two different mechanisms for the father and for the mother. Can you distinguish between the two using the particular method that you're using?
Yeah, that's a good question too. Let's go back to the example we had where we have one couple that is older, another couple that is younger. Now, of course, as we hold the couple fixed, so this is like Adam and Eve, let's call them Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve, if they get a child in 10 years' time and compared to the child they get today, of course, they both got 10 years older.
10 years older, yes.
Right. So that's the collinearity for the econometric geeks. That's the collinearity problem. then what do we do? How can we use this method to, yes. to answer your question? Exactly. So what we did is the following. We split the families in our sample into three. One where the female is much younger than the male, one close to equal age, and one where the female is older than the male. Mm-hmm. These three categories were roughly of equal size. And then our idea was the following, that if the effects we found are driven by females, we would expect the old female couples to have stronger aging effects on the birth defect of the children. On the other hand, if older males kind of causing this, we would expect these couples with old males compared to females to have stronger effects of parental age on birth disorder. Mm-hmm. That's the test we do, the splitting of sample into three or splitting of families into three. And what we find is that the aging effects appear to be markedly stronger for the couples where the female is older than the male. So this is a bit speculative what we're doing here. We need to be a little bit cautious. But based on this, it appears that the mother aging effect is at least as important as the father aging effect for the outcomes we study.
Now, Hans, more of us are choosing to have children later in life. And this is a very emotive issue. But if your estimates are correct, should policymakers be encouraging us to have kids when we're younger, or should they perhaps even be lowering the maximum age for IVF?
Medical practitioners and researchers and policymakers do state that there is a cost of waiting with children. So to some extent, they're already saying is, I think our findings suggest that they could deliver this message even more strongly, I think, with more certainty than what has been said before. Because going back to what I said in the beginning, I don't think the methods that have been used in this literature has been appropriate at all. And I think what we're doing is more appropriate. It's not perfect, but it's more appropriate. And I think it gives us a more certainty that there are, in fact, effects there, and they're stronger than we thought. Now, lowering the maximum age of for IVF, well, that's an interesting question. I think, luckily, that's the kind of thing that politicians decide in the end. I want to be very careful there and just say that's an interesting question.
Well, this is important research that's going to help whoever has to make those decisions. Hans, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tim.
The paper is called Parental Age and Birth Defects, a Sibling Study, and the authors are Hans Vida, Kjell Salvanes, and Julian Johnson, and it is CEPR Discussion Paper 15836. Hans, you've also got an acceptance in a journal, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. This paper is actually now published online, not in print yet, but it's in the European Journal of Epidemiology, which we were thankful and encouraged to get our paper published in.
And I think that's the first time that anything that we've had on VoxTalk has been published in a journal like that. This is also something with a wide interest for all sorts of outcomes, aren't there? So in future, are you going to be using this data to research any other outcomes for these children?
Yeah, first of all, we think these questions are very important and they impact a lot of parents and children all over the world and also kind of enters the decision-making process, if you like, of parents. But we also were interested in pushing this paper a little bit like a trial balloon for this family fixed effect method and from a methodological standpoint. The nice thing about using birth outcomes is exactly that parents haven't invested that much time and it's not like let's put the kid to a good kindergarten or school and all these things haven't had an impact. So it's relatively clean from a methodological standpoint. Now, we are very interested in whether parental age also impacts outcomes for these children later on in life. So things that has to do with health and labor market participation, maybe cognitive ability, you know, getting married, a number of different things. I mean, based on our study, we do expect there to be negative things for these kids, unfortunately, throughout their lifetimes.
I look forward to reading what you come out with.
Thank you.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. Every week we bring you important new economic research like this, so subscribe to Vox Talks because you don't want to miss out on it. But if you did, there are 12 years of Vox Talks in the archive at voxeu.org/vox-talks.